Hey folks, this is Ben Greenfield. My wife has been struggling with migraine headaches for the past several years, and in podcast number 191 a few weeks ago, I explained that migraine headaches can be caused by a lot of things. Foods that contain tyramine and histamine, like cheeses or sauerkraut or kefir, those type of things. Sometimes foods that contain arginine, like nuts or chocolate. But in many cases, migraines can be caused by foods that leave a net acid load when they're metabolized by the body. Today, you're going to learn exactly what I mean by that, and I wanted to precede today's interview with Dr. Ted Morter by saying that I've witnessed my wife over the past month completely eliminate her migraines and literally be able to stop them in their tracks by fixing her body's pH levels and using a lot of the concepts that I'm about to discuss in today's podcast. So tune in and know that the strategies that we discuss can be used for a lot more health issues than just migraine headaches. But I think you'll get a lot out of this podcast, and I'd recommend that you listen in and that you take action based off of what you're about to learn. Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and as I mentioned in a podcast earlier, a few weeks ago, I have been kind of looking into the whole pH issue and how our bodies can be acid, how they can be alkaline, and I decided it was high time to get an expert on the call who really knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. And so I have with me today Dr. Ted Morter, and Dr. Ted is the CEO of Morter Health System, and he founded something called the Dynamic Life Training Seminars of North America, which is kind of a personal and professional development company that teaches health and wellness. He speaks all over the place. He's a trainer, an author, a researcher. He's a doctor of chiropractic, and basically he lives this stuff. This is what he teaches, and so we're super honored to have him on the show. And Dr. Ted, thanks for coming on.
Ben, thank you so much for having me here. I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks since we first talked, and I've been really excited about being able to share some real quality information, great content that I believe will change people's lives. And you know, I'm really excited to get into that.
Cool. Well, before we get going, tell us a little bit about how you got started in all this and kind of came to where you are now.
You know, my father was a chiropractor, is a chiropractor, and currently is. He's been president of two chiropractic colleges, one of only two people in the world to ever accomplish that, I believe. And he started developing a technique way back in the 80s, late 70s and early 80s, about energy and about dealing with energy. And I'll say this, you know, a couple things that I'd like to say is, number one, it's all about energy. The things that we'll talk about today are about energy. Everything that I do is about energy. Everything that I talk about, it comes back to, you guessed, energy. Mm-hmm. And the technique that we've developed deals with energy in the body and how it transforms then into the physicality in the body, the physical aspects that we have. And we learned over the years that, of course, it's your body's also is succumbed to the different things that we put in our body, what we eat and drink, and we'll talk more about that as we go along. But I've been in practice since the 80s, about 35 years, treating thousands of patients all over the world. We teach and train people in many, many, many countries, in Europe and South America and Mexico, Australia. We've been all over. We do a lot of seminars, probably some 12, maybe 1,300 seminars to date. So I've been around, as it says, as you would say, dealing with people and their questions. And we teach a lot of programs about the types of techniques that we've developed for the layperson, and I'll get into that later in our talk today. But we've also done a lot of research in nutrition. And my father, with a uncanny ability to take his scientific mind, he is a chiropractor and master's in education and chemistry, and he began to figure out that the things that we were told about our diets and about how we live and eat and breathe and whatnot were not necessarily true. And he found patients that didn't respond to typical chiropractic care and started to dig deeper and to find out what could be wrong, and investigated their diet and investigated pH became a big issue with his chemistry background. And I remember back in the 70s when I was in college, him asking me to go to the university and check out certain books that dealt with alkalinity and ash and what's left over after a food's digested. And that really, Ben, that really began the whole process of understanding about pH. And he has since written several booklets and books on pH, dealing with the body itself, considered to be the guru, if you will, of pH research and development, and has been touted by some as should receive the Nobel Prize for his work done in pH. So I'm honored to present some of that information here today and to take it even deeper so that people will really begin to understand that this thing we talk about energy in our bodies and the thing we talk about what's essential for our lives is more than just what we eat and drink. It goes much deeper than that, but you know, let's just start, Ben. Let's start with the foundation of, you know, the basics about pH, and you can kind of just lead this along about where you'd like to go, and we'll start kind of easy, and as Tina Turner said, then we're going to get rough.
Yeah, sounds good. And that's interesting you bring that up about your father, because I realized after I found you that I had indeed come across your father, Dr. Mortar's book, at one point in the past and been through it, and it was just chock full of interesting stuff that you don't hear about in nutrition classes when it comes to pH and food. So that being said, let's talk about pH and food. So when we look at foods, how do certain foods or how can certain foods affect our body's pH?
Well, the body is really, I like to say, alkaline by design and acid by function. Now, let me explain what that means. It means that our body was designed to run in an alkaline environment. Now, for those of our listeners that aren't familiar with this, let's back up even more basic. We'll talk about the pH scale. It goes from 0 to 14. And on the scale of pH, the amount of acid in a system, if it's below 7, which is neutral, which is right in the middle, that's water, if it's below 7, then it's considered to be acidic. And the more below 7 it goes, the more acid it's considered. And then there's the numbers that go above 7, which would be alkaline. And the higher those numbers go, the more alkaline a substance is. So our body was designed to function slightly alkaline. And we know this is true because for your body to survive, the blood pH must remain about 7.35. So it's just 0.35 over neutral. So at 7.35 to maybe 7.45, that's where our body lives all the time. If you move from that range, it's pretty simple. You die. So we don't want to die, so we have to keep our body's pH in that particular range. And that's a pretty small, you know, that's a pretty small variation there, 0.35 to 0.45. Mm-hmm. So that being said, the body is very wise in how it works to keep that system in check. There are buffering systems in the body, and there are ways to eliminate acid in the body. And I guess there's ways to eliminate alkalinity in the body as well, but that's usually not the problem, Ben. And we'll learn that as we go through this today, that most of the things that we're doing create acid in our body. Most of the foods that we eat create acid. The things that we drink create acid. The things that we think create acidity in our bodies. So our body's really designed to get rid of acid. So when I say alkaline by design, that's how your body was designed to run. And acid by function, you know, as a trainer, you know that we produce acid as we use our bodies in the daily routine. And when we're doing when we're working out, we're building up a lactic acid in the system. So we have to eliminate that. And of course, the lactic acid is a perfect fuel for the heart. So that's great, but it's not so good for the muscles, and it has to be eliminated. And we'll understand more about that when we really get into acid and alkaline balance in the body. So that being said, to lay the foundation, and let me ask you this, Ben, do you think that that's a good enough foundation for people to understand? Can we go forward from here?
Yeah, it makes sense. And maybe when we get into our discussion of which foods are kind of acid producing and which foods are alkaline producing, we can talk about it even more too. And I appreciate that you brought that up about the body being alkaline by design and acid by function, because I noticed that you've said that on your website and in your books, and it kind of seems to be the underlying philosophy behind this whole idea. So when we're looking at food and it having the ability to affect the acid alkaline balance in our bodies, can this go beyond food? Are there things other than food that can affect our pH?
Oh, now you've opened Pandora's box, and thank you for that. Yes, and we'll come right back and talk about the specific foods that you want to know about, but let me just give an overview for a second. I've categorized these, and my father categorized these, into what we term the six essentials for life. Six essentials for life. And in these essentials, it's what you eat and drink and exercise and rest and breathe. And, of course, the most important is what you think. These are things that affect your overall health. Again, they were eat, drink, exercise, rest, breathe, and think. Think probably being more important than all the rest of them combined, including what we eat. So that's a pretty big pill to swallow, if you will, but it's the truth. It's the way that our bodies, the way that they function. So you said, are there more things that can affect our acid than just what we're eating? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And I hope we get to spend more time talking about these six areas that I just mentioned. One of them, of course, was eat, and we'll probably start with that one. But they're all very, very important. And if you can figure out, which we have done with our system, is to figure out how to combine them all effectively so that you're not sticking out in a particular area that's completely out of balance. It's all about energy, and I believe that the body can heal itself when it's put in the proper alignment. In other words, when we keep the body energetically balanced and we fuel it properly with alkaline foods and we drink the proper things and we stay in line with our resting and our exercising and, of course, what we think about and our breath, now we've got a whole system figured out here that really makes sense. It's nothing exotic. It's not hard to understand. It's pretty common sense. And, you know, I said it's all about energy and the body heals itself. And the third topic that I love to talk about are the thoughts are things. And we'll get into that later about the thinking process and how that creates acid in our bodies and how that makes us sick and keeps us from attaining the abundant life that we want and having all the things that we want in our lives, including our physical health, but our emotional health and our relationship health and our wealth and our finances and all the things that, you know, that we want to have in our lives. It all stems back to these six essentials that I talked about: eat, drink, exercise, rest, breathe, and think. These are the biggies. Hmm. So if you don't mind, you asked me before, what about the different foods and how can they affect our bodies? Mm-hmm. So here's another basic concept that most people don't understand. When I say that acid is not good, people immediately say, okay, so lemons and orange juice and grapefruit juice and things that are maybe juices that have acid in them are not good for our bodies. And that's not true. They're very good because when they're digested, the ash that's left over, if you took a match and burned a piece of paper, there's something left. It's called the ash. Same thing happens in our bodies. When our bodies oxidize the fuel that we put in there and burn it up, there are the ash that is left needs to be alkaline, not acid. So in two comparisons, if you ate a soda cracker, that would be alkaline going in your system. If you tested the pH of the cracker, it's going to be alkaline. But when it's digested, it leaves an acid residue. Not good. Mm-hmm. If you ate a lemon or an orange, it pH tests acid. But when it's digested and burned up, the residue is, as you guessed, alkaline. And that's what we need. So we have to first get that misnomer out of the way, that just because it's an acid food like a tomato, that doesn't mean that it leaves a bad residue in our body. It's what our body needs. The alkalinity that we need in our bodies to survive comes from, and here we go, drum roll, comes from fruits and vegetables. So when I'm talking about how to alkalize your body and maintain, it's not exotic and it doesn't require, you know, special foods that have to be ordered and prepared in a special way. No, it's fruits and vegetables. And if you eat them as close to the natural state as they were grown, the better. The more you do to them, the more you detract from their overall nutritive value. You cook them, you denature the proteins, or you change the enzymatic patterns when you heat the vegetables over 135 degrees. And when you start to change the enzyme ability to help you with the digestion because you've killed it, now becomes a problem. Now the food just sits there. And it really just, from all the cooked foods that we eat, and I'm not an advocate of an all raw food diet. I'm not strong enough to do that, I don't think. But I know a lot of people that are, and they do very well on that. But a lot of the diet should be raw because the enzymes are there to help you with the digestion. Cook it, and you start to mess with it. You start to, everything you do with a carrot once it comes out of the ground, from washing it and scrubbing it, just takes away from the minerals that we need for us to survive in an alkaline environment. And Ben, a lot of people don't understand that it's the plant kingdom that does this for us. You see, we're designed to work with covalently bound minerals in our system. Not ionically bound, but covalently bound. And what does that mean? That means that the plants have hooked this onto a carbon atom through the miracle of photosynthesis, and that's what we can use. That's how our body grows and builds and gets stronger. When we eat foods that are ionically bound, like the sodium in salt, sodium chloride, you know, we don't get nutrient, we don't get sodium from that because it just goes right back and hooks onto another chlorine, so we don't get much out of that. Mm-hmm. So we have to use the plants to digest the hard minerals in the ground. Here's the summary. The plants digest the inorganic minerals in the ground, hook them onto a carbon atom, and we're able then to eat the plants and gain the value from the minerals. Mm. So that's the way that it's supposed to work. That's how we get the minerals in our body that we need, from fruits and from vegetables. So those produce alkaline residue, which fills the bank account for alkalinity in our system, and thus we're able to survive. We need those alkaline minerals, Ben, because the minerals that you get from fruits and vegetables are used in the buffering system in our body to counteract all the bad stuff that we eat, which comes in the packages that are prepackaged in the stores or that comes from the meat and the dairy counter, because these produce lots of acid. Meats and grains produce acid. Fruits and vegetables produce alkalinity. We need much more alkalinity than we need the acid. So I'm not a vegetarian either, and I don't advocate that necessarily. If that's your choice, that's fine with me, as long as you balance your diet out to be sure you've got the amino acids that you need. But the truth is, most of us eat way too much protein. Mm-hmm. And how can you tell? Well, if the amount of protein you eat in a day is bigger than a deck of cards, like one small chicken breast for the whole day, the chances are you're putting too much protein in your body, which forces your body into a sad state. It forces your body then to begin to use up all the alkaline minerals to get rid of the acid. And here's why. You can't get the acid. The acid can't come through the normal channels to get out of your body through the lungs like it typically does from fruits and vegetables. That comes right out through the lungs.
Right, just like breathing out CO2.
Exactly. It comes out from as CO2 and water. Perfect. And about three-fourths of our acid is eliminated from our bodies this way. Normal, natural, perfect. That's why breathing is so important. Full, deep breath to get rid of the carbon dioxide and bring in oxygen. Oxygen to the cells, carbon dioxide away from the cells. Perfect. That's exactly what we want. Excuse me. But when you start talking about meat and sulfuric acid, H2SO4, your lungs can't handle this. It would burn them. So it has to be changed into carbonic acid, water and CO2, plus sodium bicarb, which comes out of the kidneys. And I don't mean to have a chemistry lesson here, and I'm not a chemist, but I'm telling you, I know how this works. And the meat ends up hurting the kidneys over a period of time because that's the only way you can get rid of that acid. It's got to come out through the kidneys. It's the backup system from the lungs.
Right.
So now we're starting to tax our bodies, and we're starting to get into suppressing our immune system because we're using all of our energy to digest and eliminate the food that we put in there, even though it tastes really good. I'm thinking of a Ruth's Chris steakhouse, nice steak, you know, and a bottle of Opus, some red wine, and maybe a vegetable, could be corn, or maybe a potato, and, you know, I'm not so much on the salad right there, and maybe a creme brulee for dessert. Now, there was no mineral in there that I need. I did that on purpose, although it does sound good. There's no alkaline minerals left there for reserve for me, you see, and that would be a typical diet someone would eat.
Right.
The corn is grain, and the potato's not got that much nutritive value to it. And the meat's got full of the sulfuric acid, and so is the creme brulee because it was made from milk and eggs.
Right.
So You see the dilemma? See what I'm talking about? And most people don't get this. They're just like, you know, I've got to have my meat. And you're a trainer. You've trained people. And I've seen many, many big bodybuilders that come in to see me over the years. And they always, as a rule, think about eating big protein diets and lots of protein to bulk up and to be strong. And I'm telling them, you know, you don't have to do that. Because if you'll just look at a buffalo out on the plains, they're eating prairie hay, which is about 2% protein. They're not eating big amounts of protein, and they're massive animals. The same thing can happen here. We just have to regulate and change the diet around to make it work more efficiently. So my bottom line to that, and we can move on, but my bottom line there is we need to eat less meats and grains and more fruits and vegetables. And the fruits and vegetables, some of them should be at least raw so that you get enzymes. If you don't get some raw in there, you'll survive on that food, but you won't thrive. Mm-hmm. You'll sustain life, but you won't improve your life. You won't improve your health with that food. It will just keep you alive.
Right.
Who wants to just stay alive and die at 65 or 68 years old?
Right.
When we can thrive if we change our diet around a little bit and you know, work within the boundaries that are here. I didn't make these rules. My father didn't make these rules. We just figured out how it works. So to make the systems work, and the athletes that you coach and the people that you work with that are working out, that's all fine. But remember, everything that you do there is going to create acid, which means you're going to need to alkalize the body. You can do it with your diet, with fruits and vegetables. There are supplements that you can take, and we have some of those available, like barley. Barley grass is the most potent alkalizer that we know of. Of all the products and the grasses and the wheat grass and or alfalfa, barley is by far the most alkaline in that it gives the body what it needs. Now, I'm not talking about barley grain. I'm talking about barley sprouts that have been juiced and tabletized or put into a powder form. This is a good way to help alkalize the body. Those are just pretty basic things. And if people are wondering, you know, how's your diet, I say, well, just go back and write down what you ate yesterday and the day before. Just make a list and then look at it. How many of the things fall into the fruits and vegetables, and how many are in the meats and the grains? And be honest. And what was the proportion of each one?
Gotcha.
And I think people will be alarmed.
Gotcha.
I think they'll go, whoa, who knew?
And this is, you know, there are a lot of people that are really into, for example, the paleo diet right now. And I think that there are some things that I think could be improved on that diet. But one thing I like about it that sets it apart from something like the Atkins diet is that there is meat consumed, but there is typically a high amount of vegetables, if you're doing it right, that are also consumed. And the meat is not the amount that you'd eat. You know, you aren't walking around with a big leg of chicken in your hand, you know, greasy dripping from your mouth the way that you would if you were, you know, eating something like an Atkins diet. And so I think it's really important how you talk about, you know, the effect that protein can have in terms of its ability to produce acid, and then the super high importance of getting lots of, you know, specifically like the, you know, these chlorophyll mineral containing vegetables in. Now, my follow-up question for you on all the information that you just gave, Ted, is that if the body is exposed to this high amount of acid producing food, you know, you talked about how it's hard on the kidney, how it's hard on kind of like your acid buffering system. But as far as a built-in mechanism that the body has to protect itself from all this acid, does it go deeper than that as far as like how the body deals with the acid that we're producing? And if so, how does that actually work?
Well, the body is designed to survive. Remember that, Ben. It's going to do, your body will do everything that it can to just live 1 millisecond longer. And what happens is that when you super saturate the body with these acids, several things begin to happen. And it can come from one of two angles. And this is a very important concept right here. I want people to just slow down for a moment and get this concept. You can acidify your body by eating the wrong foods and drinking the wrong liquids, or you can acidify your body so it can be in addition to that with the thinking process and what happens there from emotional stress and worry and how your body revs up to fight this. So you asked if there are systems there. Yes, there are. There are systems. As you hit age 40, your body will begin to reabsorb sodium, calcium, potassium from the muscle tissue. And that's why people that are working out and pay attention to their body notice that they start to get kind of, the skin becomes more loose and they get more flabby. All right. Well, then at about 40 to 50, now what happens is our up in that area, as a rule, I've seen it go as low as 16 and 17-year-olds, but as a rule, when you're older then, your body will steal the sodium and calcium that it needs from the bones, so you develop osteoporosis. So first we're self-digesting our muscle component, and then their body goes after the bones because it wants to survive. Your body would rather have weak bones, but be able to live and breathe another day or two. And it will sacrifice and take the calcium from the bones. So we call that osteoporosis. But that's okay because the doctor will just give you some magic Osamax pill that's going to drive calcium back into your bones. Well, of course, if you can suffer and give through the rest of the side effects that happen with that, including, you know, maybe as bad as death, premature death, okay. But I think it might be smarter to hit it from the front side and say, why don't we do things through our diet that don't require our body to reabsorb sodium and calcium and potassium that we get from fruits and vegetables from our muscles, or we don't have to steal it from our bones if it was readily available in our diet. And more importantly, if we didn't do so much meat, alcohol, coffee, and sodas and things and grains that it creates this acid in our bodies, that would be even better yet. Mm-hmm. So you can't just eat a terrible diet full of meat and grains and sodas and coffee and tea and all the things that upset our osmotic balance. You can't do that and then just take supplements and think you're going to be okay.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So you have to go from the a pro-aggressive stance, if you will, and say, wait a minute, let's look at what we're putting in to begin with. Let's start back there. You know, or what am I eating that came off the farm? Did it come from the garden and the vegetables, or was it from the corral out back where the cows were fed all these grains? You know, which is the majority of my diet? And if it's coming from the garden, grown in the ground or picked off a tree, if you can wash it, chances are it's okay to eat. Try to wash a potato chip. That works so well. But, you know, these are just things that I try to tell patients and that I've worked with thousands and thousands of people over the years. People say, well, what's a meat? What is meat? Does this count? Is a shrimp a meat? Is chicken a meat? Listen, if it has a face and it can look back at you, it's protein. It's meat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good one for people to remember, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, there are systems, yes, to answer your question, that will back up, but it's not good to pay the price over a long period of time. What happens is our immune system goes down. We suppress the immune system, and when we do that, oh boy, that's when a whole myriad of symptoms begin to set in, and then we have to deal with that.
Right.
And then we go to the doctor, and we start to take medications, which produce acid in our bodies as well. And it's a vicious, vicious cycle. So best to head it off in the begin with. If it's about energy, let's keep our body balanced, and we have to understand the body can heal itself if given the right systems to work with. And another thing that I really hope we have some time to talk about will be what happens in the rest cycle. When you rest, it's a chance for your body to slow down.
Yeah.
When it slows down, you have at least a possibility of moving back towards neutral so that the cells can repair and rebuild. So all those six things I talked about are important.
Yeah, and I definitely want to touch on that. One thing about the actual, you know, mechanism that the body uses to protect itself is something that you talk about in kind of a manual that you have that includes some of these acid alkaline foods, and you know, you kind of go into detail in this kit that you have that teaches how to keep your body in acid alkaline balance. But you talk about something called the alkaline reserve. Can you explain what that is and where that fits in here?
Sure. It's really what we've been talking about so far. The alkaline reserve, picture it as a bank account. And you make deposits and you make withdrawals into your bank account. The bank account is the alkaline reserve. So it's minerals. What the alkaline reserve refers to alkaline minerals that are held in check in your body, ready to fight off the acid as it comes down the pike. So that's your bank account. Now you can make deposits and you can make withdrawals. The challenge here is that when you make a deposit into your account, It's like slipping it's like if you took your daily, your business, and you put it in one of those bank envelopes, and you went to the bank to deposit after hours, and you got to slip it through that little window. You got to slip it through the slots. You can't put a lot in there. Okay, so to get the amount of good information into your reserve account, the sodium, calcium, potassium that you need, it takes a long time to get it in there because your body has to personalize this, and it takes a while for it to be absorbed into the system. You put too much of a withdrawal in there, which is going to be the meats and the grains, and your body has no choice but to deal with this. If you put too much in there, in fact, your body, the system can shut down, and you get a symptom of cramping or bloating or diarrhea or excess gas. That's your body saying, you did something wrong here, and we're going to have to deal with it. The fruits and the vegetables, they'll move on through very slowly. It's not a big deal. And your body will pick off the minerals that it wants slowly and keep them and personalize them and make them part of your system. But you go dumping all that protein in there, and your body has no choice but to deal with it because it's going to create acid that's going to burn. It will burn. When that protein begins to putrefy and spoil because it can't get through the digestive tract fast enough, then it creates acid in the intestine, which causes bile burns. It causes burns into the intestine, the large intestine as well. And so you've got to deal with it. You've got to get it out of there. So what I'm saying is in your bank account, in your alkaline reserve account, it's more difficult to get the minerals in there that you need, but it's your body must deal with the big withdrawals you make when you put the acid in there. It's got to purge it out of there. So once you deplete your account, then you steal it from your muscles and your bones. Did that answer it?
Yeah, it makes sense. So basically, if you've got enough vegetables, you're getting a lot of these alkalinizing minerals. But if you're either not getting enough of the alkalinizing minerals or the right alkalinizing foods, or you're overstressed with acids, then you essentially run out of the reserve minerals, and at that point, your body begins to draw on other sources of minerals.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Got it. Makes sense. Now you kind of tie this into the autonomic nervous system and how it affects our emotional response to stress. You know, we've got our fight and flight system and our rest and digest system. And this is something that I'm interested in terms of, you know, looking at, for example, athletes who are chronically fatigued, or, you know, people who appear to be healthy but maybe easily stressed out by certain environmental cues. How does the acid alkaline balance in the diet or in the body actually affect the body from a stress handling perspective?
Great question. Let me paraphrase it just for a moment. You touched right on the tip that I was hoping that we could get to. And when you said, how does the emotional stress that we have, or the thinking stresses that we have, and somebody gets stressed out very easily when they get sick, how does that affect our body and the pH balance in our body, the amount of acid in our body? Remember, Ben, what I said, the acid can come in from what we put into our mouths, but more importantly, most of the acid that causes us trouble comes from what we put in through our brains, what we think about. We have this gift called our, you know, cognitive thinking ability, and this wonderful brain that we have and the matrix involved there. Wow. It's our greatest gift, and yet it's our worst curse. And I say that because we don't use the brain and our thinking process to dwell on positive, energetic, fun-loving, great things. We tend to look towards the negative side as a rule. A lot of people do, unless you've had, you know, done some work in counseling and figured out how to think properly. Most people get tied up into the stress. And here's what happens, Ben. It's not what we're thinking about in our conscious mind all the time. I call this a subconscious problem. It's a subconscious emotional memory override, SEMO, subconscious emotional memory override, a SEMO. So what a SEMO is, a pattern that gets etched into our subconscious mind based on what we've done either over a long period of time. It can be a long duration, low intensity input. Where your parents tell you when you were younger, you're not gonna make it. You're not gonna be good enough. You're not tall enough. You're not strong enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not skinny enough. You've got the wrong color hair. Your father was never any good. You're not gonna be any good. Your brother's just like you. He was worthless, and so are you. Low intensity, long term badgering, if you will, and an emotional state. And then after that happens for a long enough period of time, based on our beliefs, whether we believe that or not. As a child, we tend to believe our parents and our preachers and teachers and authority figures. And that goes into the subconscious mind as a pattern. And once that pattern starts, then it puts you on the defense cycle. It means that your body's in a fight or flight system, which it cannot repair and rebuild. It can only survive because it's producing acid. It's like you're ready to fight all the time and you're slightly tense, even though you don't know it. But you're ready for that attack. You're ready this time. Don't let it hit me this time. I'm going to be ready and I'm going to be able to take it down. I'm going to win this time. Hmm. And that's what we go through. That's one way to form a SEMO pattern. Another way is a high intensity, short duration, where you look out the window and you see a child run out in the road and get hit by a car, you know, heaven forbid, or a dog run over or something horrific. And that creates a pattern that gets stuck into our subconscious mind, forms a SEMO pattern. And that's where our techniques that we've developed over the years have come into play, that we've learned how to counteract these SEMO patterns so that that stops creating acid in our body. Because if you're tense and excited and you're perspiring and you can feel your heart rate just increase somewhat, just a little bit, your body is producing acid right there. We're acid-producing machines. So we produce it and we have to eliminate it, which steals our calcium from our bank account again. So it can come from what we eat and drink, or it can come from what we think. And these thought patterns, the sad part here is most people, either they don't understand they have a pattern like this running, or they think, you know, I already dealt with that. Okay, I know that was a problem, but listen, I've dealt with that. I'm fine now. It's okay now. Really? Well, why don't you lay down on this table and let me do some muscle testing and let me see when you think about that particular person in your past that you say you've dealt with, and it makes all your muscles go weak, do you think that's good? I mean, how much healing and repairing and rebuilding can you do when you're not even strong enough to hold up your arm? You see, it just doesn't make sense. But most people don't understand this, and they certainly don't believe that they've got a problem. But I'm telling you, our research has shown that this is exactly what happens when we get sick. Ben, we have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not close to $1 million, of research funding to fund studies to prove exactly what I'm talking about, that the SEMO patterns that are there cause our body to establish and maintain chronic pain, chronic headaches, chronic back pain. We've done studies that have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt with 85% results in chronic pain patients that have failed in chiropractic, failed in medical. They were given up on. And we got 85% results with these people by using this technology that we've developed, applying the principles about the pH system of the body, and most importantly, working with the thought process to get them balanced and reset, if you will, back to zero. And not only did pain go away, but increases in energy, less depression and fatigue, vitality went up, general health went up. These were things we weren't even expecting to find. Mm. But sure enough, they were proven. And it's been published in the scientific journals, and we're very proud about these facts. Mm. So it goes way beyond just what you eat. That's why I said when we began our whole process, you know, there's six essentials: eat, drink, exercise, rest, breathe, and think. We talked about eat, we've talked about drinking, you know, just neutral water, that's what you need, period. That's the best thing. Exercise, that's your ballywick. When you're exercising, you're producing acid, so you're going to need some minerals to help counteract that. Organic minerals like alka green, a barley product, or watch the diet very closely. Resting, we already talked about that, how that can, when you rest and your body can reset back to at least neutral, then you have a chance to repair and rebuild. And then, of course, thinking, what you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. Breathing and thinking. I think we skipped breathing. Breathing, yeah, to get carbon dioxide out of there, to get the oxygen in there to the tissues. It's got to have oxygen in there for the hemoglobin to work properly. It's got to be there. Right. So, and to transfer iron and energy and, you know, all the things that we need for metabolism, to burn the glucose that we have in our systems. You got to have oxygen there. Mm. So then we get back to the think, and that was the sixth one, and that was what I was just talking about, these SEMO patterns. If you have a SEMO pattern, and you do, if you're listening to this, I promise you've got these patterns going on. I have never found someone yet who didn't have something going on that mm-hmm. would show up very quickly and very easily, and that could be corrected with the proper care to get back to where we can live in abundance and we can live in a vital life and feel good and attract energetically the things to our lives that we really want. When we're stuck in an acid fix, if you will, and we can't even, you know, can't move around without pain, and we can't see the good for the bad, and, you know, it's just on and on and on and on, that whole scenario leads to depression, leads to fatigue, leads to insomnia. most of the symptoms that people are, if you watch TV, that they're trying to cure you with these pharmaceuticals, oh my gosh, if you could live through the side effects, I guess it'd be okay. But I kind of chuckle. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? People really are going to take that? They must be really desperate. And I have to assume that people only do logical things. So if they're making a logical decision that they're going to go and try this approach to health that doesn't make any sense to me, it doesn't make them ignorant or stupid, I guess, for lack of a better word. I hate to use that word, but it just means that they're not really informed about the options or what could be out there. Or no one's teaching and training. There's no system for you to learn what it is that you need to do. And if you just follow a simple system, it's, well, as I said, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have this this kit, this best living kit that you sent up to me, and you go into a lot more detail on some CDs that you have in there about the eating and drinking and exercise and resting and breathing and thinking. But you also have these pH strips that are in there, and I'd like to touch on that because we talked a lot about the acid alkaline balance in the body. How is it that people can actually use something like this to track their pH and to see how changes in their diet or their thought patterns or their breathing, et cetera, is affecting that?
Well, a very simple way to determine your health index is to evaluate your saliva and your urine pH. So in the kit that I've got, I slipped in there a series of, there's probably 12 or 15 strips in there that you can actually test the pH of your saliva and the urine. You can compare it to the chart, and it'll tell you exactly what your pH number is, which gives you your potential for health. And to me, it's probably one of the most powerful diagnostic tools out there. If I could have a choice of an MRI or a pH test, I think I'd go for the pH test because it tells me about function. So I'm on the front side again trying to figure out how's my body functioning so that I can warn off these particular diseases and processes that are coming down the pike that you know may not necessarily be inevitable, but probably they will be if I continue on that road. So this gives me a parameter to say, boom, let me check this. So it's a simple saliva test. You take the little strip, you can use it for saliva, and you can use it for urine, you can use the same paper. I would do the saliva first, I think. That was a joke. but you can use the same strips, the same paper to test the urine pH and the saliva pH. And that will give you an idea. And then there's a chart to compare it to. And we've got some discussion in the workbook. There's a 75-page color workbook in there that will show you, walk you through the process about what this means. Mm-hmm. And there's a 30-day activity calendar that you'll write down your exercise patterns and what you're eating. You know, it's a 30-day plan for you to help you keep track of what's going on. So you can check your pH and you can write down your how you're doing in these six essential areas. You know, it's so important, the things that I've talked about, Ben. I made a separate CD. There are 9 CDs and 1 DVD in this kit. Mm-hmm. 9. I made a separate CD on each of those 6 essentials. Eat, drink, exercise, rest, breathe, and think. And then I put in a special in there. And I'm going to tell you something. The one special CD, and I don't know if you got to that one yet, but it's called Forgiveness, Forgive for Life.
Yeah, I saw it. We didn't get to it yet.
Get to it. You'll love that. That one CD is worth the price of the entire program. I guarantee it. You'll love it. I introduced the concept of preemptive forgiveness in that when you're going into a situation where you know it's going to be a conflict, you already have been there before, and you know that when you meet with this person or with a situation, it's going to be conflicted, and you know you're going to be upset. And the only way to get through the upsetness and through the emotional turmoil that we go through is through forgiveness. You're going to have to forgive them. You're going to have to forgive yourself. You're going to have to give them permission to forgive you. And these are steps that are outlined. I've gone through it in detail, how to do this. And when you forgive, then you can remove the SEMO pattern that's causing your body to produce acid every time you think about that son of a gun. So it's about forgiveness. So that one CD alone is worth the cost of the entire kit, just for that one CD. It's called Forgive for Life, and I want you to listen to it, because the next time we talk, and I'm sure we'll talk again, you're gonna be very impressed with what you can do with your own mind, what you can do to fix a problem, even if the person that you need to forgive is dead and gone. Because it's not about them. It's about you, and it's about how you are reacting to the memory pattern in your subconscious mind stored from that person or situation. Mm-hmm. So That's one other aspect that I've got in there. And I've got a DVD that you'll put in your computer or on a DVD player, and it will show you one of the technology steps that we've developed on. It's an actual physical thing that you can do every morning and every evening, a position that you can get into and how you think when you're in that position and how you hold your breath and turn your head and what your eyes are doing. That is one of the most profound things that we've ever released. And it's in the very same kit. There's a full DVD on that, on me on stage doing the process, doing this procedure. It's kind of the tip of the iceberg of the technology that we've developed, but it's something for everybody to do. Kids can do it. Elderly can do it. Anyone can do this little exercise. It takes about 5 minutes to do each day that will extend your life unbelievably. It will deal with the emotional components that you've stored and will show you how to start the process to get your body from running all the time in fear and creating acid, which is depleting your reserve, to a calm, relaxed, forgiving, alkaline state that you can actually enjoy life and feel abundant in life. There's a full DVD on there for people to watch to do it. I've done this, and I lecture all over the world, Ben, and usually to between 100 to thousands, maybe 5,000 people at a time, and I teach the whole group how to do this. Here's a video that you can get. It's part of this kit. If you come to one of my seminars, it might cost you $1,000, $2,000 to get in for the day. I put it all on this DVD, and I stuck it in the kit because I think it's that important for people to get. So there's 9 CDs, a DVD on how to do the technology that we've talked about, a 75-page workbook, full-color workbook, and the pH test strips. I don't know what else I can say. It was a journey that I went down that I've spent my entire career working towards. My father developed many of these concepts years and years ago, and I'd simply revisited them and made a new recording about it, made it more appropriate for current phraseology, if you will. And so far, I have sold literally thousands and thousands of these, and I've never had someone return them. Never, ever, ever. Hmm. Never.
Yeah, and you know, one of the ways that I'm kind of looking at it right now is my wife and I are listening to the CDs, and she has been struggling on and off with migraines, and you know, I'm convinced that a very big part of it is an emotional response to stress triggers in life and things of that nature, and we're kind of going through this to look into that, and I do really appreciate the information that's in here, and wanted to get this information out to people in terms of understanding how food affects your acid and your alkaline balance in your body, but also how some of these other things that Ted has talked about can also influence your reserves and your response to stress. And there is a website where you can go and get one of these kits that Ted talked about. And the goal here is not for this podcast to be a sales presentation or anything like that. I really do want folks to understand what goes on here with the pH balance. But if you want to go get this kit, I'm going to put a link in the show notes. Or if you want to write it down right now too, that's fine. It's Ted's website, bestlivingonline.com. It's bestlivingonline.com/Greenfield. And that's where you can get this kit that Ted talked about with the pH test strips and the CDs and the DVDs and the book, because it's really good information. Ted, any other advice or further resources that you have for folks when it comes to this stuff?
Ben, thank you so much for this opportunity to even be here and share this information. We've been doing seminars, as I said, for 40 years and over 1,300 seminars training people, and now we have offer training programs to help people, the layperson, learn how to do this for your family and learn how to get healthy. And if I can leave people with some advice, it would be, love people more, expect less from them. Just love them more and make the choices in your life that you have control over, that you can be responsible for. I teach in my programs, don't pick the bag up. When somebody throws something at you and they want you to pick that bag up and start carrying that around and start reacting to that, just don't pick it up. And the second thing is set the bag down. If you're carrying around bags and carrying around baggage and luggage that you believe that you have to bear the burden for everyone else in your life, just put the bag down. Mm. Put it down. Let go, live, and have a great day.
Yeah, it's great advice. A lot of healthy people listen to this show. They're exercising well, they're eating right, but I still find a lot of times that that third component, that emotional, kind of the stinking thinking component, is something that, that people still need to get dialed in. And so I think that's really good advice. So, Dr. Ted, thank you so much for your time and for coming on the call today.
Thank you very much, Ben. It's been my pleasure.
All right, folks, and we'll be sure to put a link in the show notes for you if you want to check out Dr. Ted's kit. And that's also over at bestlivingonline.com/Greenfield. Thanks for listening in, and this is Ben and Dr. Ted signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.